May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 1104, 1104. Convinced as a sinner to Jesus I come, informed by the gospel, for such there is room, o'erwhelmed with sorrow for sin, will I cry, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hymn 1104.
Read together from the Holy Word of God in the second book of Kings, read in the 20th chapter. 2 Kings chapter 20. The second book of Kings. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which was good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto the Lord, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees, or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. At that time Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver, and the gold, and the spices, and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armour, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit, and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. May the Lord bless his holy word unto us and help us to approach unto him in prayer. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Oh, we plead, Lord, that thou wouldst rightly solemnise our hearts and our minds as we have entered into thy house this evening. May we not be left, Lord, to approach unto thee lightly, nor to have entered into thy house unconcerned. Thou art a holy God. Nothing is hid from thee. Thou seest us exactly as we are. Lord, all our sin, our unbelief, our wanderings, our worldliness, our carnality and our ease, all known, Lord, unto thee. Oh, unto us must belong shame and confusion of faith. But Lord, we plead this evening, oh, that we might find that all-prevailing plea whereby those sinners we may approach unto thee. Through the person of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. May we find, Lord, once more, 'tis he instead of us is seen as we approach to God. And thus, Lord, we plead, oh, that we might have that holy boldness, not the boldness of presumption, but the boldness of true and living faith, that we may come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst fit and prepare us rightly for worship. Oh, that thou wouldst be high and lifted up. Lord, that thou wouldst be exalted in our esteem, that we might not be left to think of thee as we think of men. Lord, that we may be brought this evening to behold thee in thy righteousness, thy holiness. Oh, thy love, thy mercy, thy goodness and thy truth. Lord, we plead that we might have those right views of ourselves. Oh, thou wouldst bring us, Lord, empty of self, that we might be filled with Christ. That thou wouldst be bringing us to an end of all hope within self, that we might be found looking alone unto Jesus. That thou wouldst be separating us, Lord, from the world, the things that we have left behind, the things that may be before us, Lord, this evening, tomorrow, known and unknown unto us, Lord, that we may be enabled to commit all into thy hands and leave it there. Oh, cast out, Lord, the buyers and the sellers, all those things that would spoil us in time of worship, and draw our hearts, our thoughts away from thee. Oh, we plead, Lord, thou wouldst draw near, not in anger, but oh, in mercy, that thou wouldst be drawing sinners unto thee this evening, that the gospel might be proclaimed in the hearts of sinners. Oh, that Jesus might be made precious, that sinners might find in him full forgiveness, a perfect righteousness, a reconciliation and a way made unto thee. Lord, that our access into that holy place, oh, pledge that he has gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, there we may also be. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst help us in every part of worship. Give help, Lord, once more in the preaching of the word. Oh, thou wouldst pour in, there might be thou pouring out. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth. But Lord, leave us not this evening to empty words. Oh, that thou wouldst grant the power of thy Spirit, the application which must come from thee and from thee alone, upon the word, that it might be empowered in much assurance and in the Holy Ghost. We plead, Lord, thou wouldst keep our lips, the door of our mouth, in the preaching of the gospel, oh, that we might preach with one aim, the honour and the glory of Jesus Christ. Lord, that thou wouldst keep us from leading any of thy people astray, settling any down short of Christ. Lord, that we might not be left to cut off any little ones in Jesus. We plead that thou wouldst bless with a hearing ear, the heart prepared to receive the word in the pew, that desire, hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, there might be hungry souls here, Lord, this evening, that thou wouldst spread the gospel table and satisfy each one richly with the benefits of thy house. Oh, visit us, Lord, with thy salvation. Give help, Lord, in the desk. Remember the deacons here. Uphold them, Lord, in their office, all the burdens that they may have to bear. Bless, Lord, each church member. Keep them in love, in unity. May they be of one mind, one heart, one voice before the Lord. We plead, Lord, that thou wouldst be in the midst of them, the glory, a wall of fire round about. Thou wouldst keep the devil from them. That thou wouldst be building them up in their most holy faith. And oh, can it be thy good pleasure. They may yet see, Lord, here, signs following the preaching of the word, additions to the church, a building up to thine honour and to thy glory. Oh, Lord, that concerns this place, we plead that thou wouldst meet with our friends as they gather elsewhere, while work is done here. Lord, may they prove thou art within no walls confined, but where'er they seek thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. Lord, we would ask thou wouldst bless thy servants in ministering among them week by week. Uphold them, Lord, by thy grace. Give them all needed strength. And as they may go in and out among the people, may they determine to know nothing among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, we'd ask, oh, thou wouldst yet bless thy cause here. Grant them, Lord, a pastor according to thine own heart. Oh, a faithful under-shepherd might be settled over them, to go in and out among them, to teach them the ways of righteousness. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst make thy people better disciples. Give us our teachable spirit. Oh, teach us through the means thou hast appointed, the preaching of the gospel, to observe all things whatsoever thou hast commanded us. Lord, that thou wouldst be yet honoured and glorified in the earth by thy people. Lord, we plead thou wouldst keep us, lest we should bring dishonour upon thy most holy name and upon thy cause. Oh, hold up our goings in thy path, that our footsteps slip not. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst yet send forth more labourers into thy vineyard. Oh, thou wouldst yet raise up faithful ministers of the gospel. Lord, that thou wouldst be with any that bear exercise this evening, whether it be concerning the ministry, whether it be, Lord, concerning matters in thy church, in the joining of thy church, the walking, Lord, in the way of thy commandments, in being obedient unto our dear Jesus. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst uphold thy people, grant them fresh supplies of grace, that they may persevere. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst give us submission to thy most holy will. May our great concern be, and ever be, Lord, all thou have me to do. Oh, we plead that thou wouldst choose a way, but still lead on. Oh, nor leave us till we say, Father, thy will be done. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst help us this evening to lay all things in thy hands, to bow before thy sovereign will, to desire to know nothing but thy will. Oh, enable us, Lord, more often to be enabled to say, by faith, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Remember, Lord, all in every state of life, the children and young people, Lord, be with them. We plead thou wouldst keep their hearts and minds. Oh, Lord, that they might know that life implanted from above within their souls. Bless the parents and give them all needed grace in the bringing up of their children, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bless the grandparents, Lord, that may bear a concern, prayerful concern over their grandchildren and others, Lord. Oh, the praying brethren, the mothers in Israel, those who long to see Emmanuel's offspring come, those who watch and wait, oh, to see, Lord, thy work and rejoice when they see it, and plead earnestly that thy work might yet appear unto thy servants. Oh, we plead, Lord, thou wouldst remember each soul in every exercise and burden they bear. All the cares, Lord, and the concerns of this life, the mountains that may be before us, Lord, they may roll down at thy presence. Help us, Lord, to live closer to thee in prayer, to cast all our care upon thee, and to prove thou dost care for us. And, Lord, when we cannot see thee, when we know not which way to take, oh, that thou wouldst be proving the promise still true, I will never, no, never, no, never forsake. Bless, Lord, thy one true church throughout the earth. Remember thy persecuted people. Those, O Lord, in prison for the sake of the gospel. Any caught up this evening in warfare, in earthquake, and Lord, those without blessings in this life. Oh, remember thy people in whatsoever state they are. Teach them, Lord, therewith to be content. We would, Lord, especially remember before thee the solemn situation in the Middle East. Lord, a reminder, the children of the bondwoman still fight against the children of the free. And Lord, we plead, oh, as we may see it, it may be a lesson to us. In this world we shall have tribulation. Oh, that we might look up, Lord, proving our redemption draweth nigh, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Oh, we plead, Lord, that thou wouldst yet cause all things that come to pass to be working out rather for the furtherance of the gospel, for thine honour and for thy glory and for the good of thy people. The confusion, Lord, within our own land, but Lord, thou art not confused. Thou knowest the end from the beginning. And all we plead, Lord, that thou would yet bring us to repentance and cause thy word yet to have free course in our land. But Lord, hasten the day when thou return in thy glory, when the work of grace may be complete. Oh, we plead, Lord, that we might be found watching and waiting for that day. May we have an expectation this evening concerning the day of our own death. Oh, I hope, Lord, a desire, oh, that in that moment to find the reality of everlasting life in the arms of Jesus. Keep us, Lord, in this world. Keep us from ourselves. Keep us from the devil. Keep us from the bewitching a world that surrounds us. Keep us by the power of God unto the day of Jesus Christ. Grant us, Lord, thankful hearts for all thy many mercies unto us. Oh, considering the pains and trouble and tribulation that some of thy people may be found in this evening, Lord, how much we have to give thee thanks for, what cause we have. O unworthy, Lord, that thou shouldst remember us with the least of thy benefits. We have thy word in our own language, the preaching of the gospel, thy people to gather with. Oh, the ordinances of the Lord's house amongst us. Lord, these are great favours. May we rightly prize them. May it be our concern this evening to be right users of them. May we be exercised, Lord, in these things, watching daily at thy gates. Oh, that thou wouldst, O Lord, not take them away from us. Thou wouldst lengthen out thy mercy and thy grace. Lord, blessings in Jesus Christ. Oh, a fountain still open, a Saviour, able to save unto the uttermost all them that come unto thee through him. Lord, a faithful high priest, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, a Saviour, a mediator in our nature, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, for the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, for that love from eternity past, oh, that was set upon sinners, worldly sinners, thy people, Lord. Oh, that whosoever believeth on Jesus Christ should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, we plead, Lord, this evening, thou wouldst help us to truly come and to give thee thanks, to put the crown on the head of King Jesus, to worship thee in spirit and in truth, that we may be nothing, Lord, that thou mayest be all in all. Help us now, Lord, to sing thy praise. Be with us as we turn to thy word. Oh, Lord, take away all sin. Keep us from sin while we are found in holy things. Lord, we plead that thy fear might be in gracious exercise within our souls this evening. Thou wouldst strengthen faith and remove all doubt. Oh, thou wouldst fill us with Christ. We'd ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 908. 908. Saved is the sinner that believes. The sacred gospel annals show. To him repentance Jesus gives, and sin's complete remission too. Hymn 908.
Thank you.
Lord, would help me this evening and grant you prayer for attention. I'll direct you to a text you'll find in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 38, and we'll commence to read in the 9th verse. Isaiah chapter 38, commencing to read in the 9th verse. Isaiah 38, verse 9, the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night will thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion so will he break all my bones. From day even to night will thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instrument all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs, and lay it for a plaister upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? It is particularly to the 15th and 16th verses I wish to direct your attention this evening. For what shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Hezekiah had been sick, dangerously sick. A boil upon his skin. We must not take for granted the days in which we live, days of antibiotics, where these things are no longer regarded as killer diseases. But once those things, they brought near to the gates of death. They brought people to consider eternity. Oh, friends, we live in days of ease. We live in days where sickness is easily treated. We're rarely brought face to face with death as our forefathers were. But here Hezekiah, brought to the borders of death, brought to consider its end. Oh, brought to turn unto the Lord and brought to cry for mercy. And here in this account that is given to us in Isaiah, we are given a window into Hezekiah's soul exercises in his sickness. Not just the outward things that may be set before us in Kings and Chronicles, although I would not say they are just outward, but here we are given a particular window into Hezekiah's soul state. And our text this evening is the change of note. All the preceding verses, Hezekiah, all he can see is blackness and darkness. He expects to die. He expects to be cut off. Oh, he's brought to this. What shall I say? But then, friends, there's another note here. What the Lord has done. What the Lord has spoken. That's what everything hangs upon this evening. What the Lord has done and what he has spoken. And that is the answer to what the things are in the 16th verse. O Lord, by these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. I've heard these words preached from and it's been said. The trials and afflictions and troubles, they are life to the souls of the Lord's people. Friends, they are not. They are not. I preached from these words 2 years ago before I had a third round of surgery. Oh, friends, I believe from memory, I preach them in that light on that occasion, but I had to prove. Affliction itself will never bring life to your soul. Trouble will never bring life to your soul. Oh, judgments nor mercies ne'er shall sway our roving feet to Zion's way. It needs the Lord to work. And that's what Hezekiah is saying here. By these things men live, not his sickness. Oh, friends, the world have sickness, the world have trouble, but it never brings them to repentance. It never brings them to cry for mercy. It never has any effect on their soul. Oh, do any of you know what the old divines used to speak of, dumb afflictions? Oh, friends, how solemn they are to the Lord's people when the Lord may bring them into trouble, bring them into sorrow, and it does not speak to them. There's none of this. Oh, he hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it. Ah, friends, it has no effect on our soul. We come in and out of the cloud and there's no change made. Oh, friends, what a difference when we can say, he hath both done it, spoken it unto me and himself hath done it. Oh, friends, it doesn't take trouble and affliction this evening to make a change in your soul state. Perhaps there's one here that's saying, or been led to believe by the devil, the wicked one. Oh, you need some trouble, you need some disaster in order for the Lord to be gracious to you. You don't. Oh, friends, you simply need what God does. The work of salvation is God's work from beginning to end. Friends, a soul that is saved by grace, this is their testimony. He hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it. Oh, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's all of grace. It's all of the Lord's work. And that's what Hezekiah testifies here. By these things men live. By the work of God and nothing else. And that's why, friends, the work of God, oh, it's so important. What do we know this evening, the work of God? Can we say, he hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it? If you can say that, then you'll be saying with Hezekiah, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Well, friends, as the Lord had helped me this evening, he wants firstly to try and say something regarding a living spirit, or regarding the life that is spoken of in our text. Are we alive this evening? Are we alive, or are we dead? Can we say, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit? And then secondly, we want to say, oh, something concerning what it is that produces life in a soul and what it is that will keep alive your soul. Oh, Hezekiah, here, he does not only come to the beginning, by these things men live, but oh, as a continuance of life in the soul. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. The Lord's people have to learn, no man can keep alive his own soul. Oh, the work is the work of grace from beginning to end. Oh, too many of us, we find ourselves back in the slough of despond. We find ourselves bound up with legality. We're trying to add what we can do to what the Lord has done. Oh, friends, you'll never find life in what you can do. But no, blessed be God, where he begins the work. He will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. By these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. And then thirdly, oh, we want to say something regarding how the account of Hezekiah reminds us. Oh, we need this continual gift of life. We need the Lord to continually work. Left to ourselves for a moment, you see, we'll fall. And Hezekiah wasn't off his bed of sickness. Before, he was filled with pride and showing the foreign embassies everything that he got. Oh, friends, we need our souls keeping alive this evening. Oh, you having to prove, is the Lord teaching you this evening? By these things men live. Nothing else. Nothing else. You need the Lord to work this evening. You need Jesus and him alone. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. So will thou recover me and make me to live. Well, friends, firstly, oh, a living soul. How can we say this evening we are a living soul? Well, you know, we find a wonderful account here of a living soul, a change that grace has made. And oh, friends, what a change. What a change. You know, if the Lord has begun a work in your soul, there will be a marked change. You will not be the person you were before. You cannot be. Ah, the Apostle Paul said, it is no longer me that liveth, but Christ that liveth in thee. Ah, friends, that cannot take place without there being a tremendous change. And it's a change we want to notice first. Oh, our text opens. What shall I say? What shall I say? What a different Hezekiah. What a different Hezekiah. You know, when Hezekiah was first sick, he had plenty to say. He turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which was good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Oh, friends, Hezekiah had plenty to say for himself. But what a change. He now says, and what shall I say? All his words are gone. Oh, friends, Hezekiah went into that sickness a full man. He went into that sickness a man that had an abundance of self-righteousness. Oh, he'd got all these things that he could pour out before the Lord. I've walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. Oh, friends, here's the Pharisee. Oh, God, I thank thee I'm not as other men are. Oh, you're fasting, your prayers, you're reading the word of God. But you see, when the Lord begins to work, when we're made a living soul, friends, all that has to go. It's emptied out. We're made to feel we've got absolutely nothing. Oh, we change. We're no longer that Pharisee, but we become like the publican. We've got nothing to say. Nothing to say for ourselves, but God be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, there was no shame as Hezekiah turns his face to the wall. Our friends, he's got nothing to be ashamed of. Here are all the things that he's done. Here's all his self-righteousness. He weeps. He weeps. Why have these things come upon me? Oh, friends, do you hear this in the world? When trouble comes upon the world, oh, you hear them say, oh, it's not fair. How have these things come upon them? They're good people. They've never done anything wrong. Oh, why are they now found sick? Oh, why have they been burgled? Why has this accident happened to them? Oh, friends, it's exactly the same as the spirit that was in Hezekiah. But, oh, you see, friends, when grace makes a difference, what shall I say? What shall I say? Oh, friends, then when trouble comes. Oh, we quoted Eli in prayer. Ah, friends, when trouble came into Eli's house, when that solemn message was brought, he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good in his sight. He got nothing to say, had he? Nothing to say for himself. Oh, I failed, Lord. I've been a poor parent. Oh, I failed my children, I failed thee, I brought dishonour upon thy name. He got nothing to say for himself. Ah, friends, Hezekiah had to be brought to have nothing to say for himself. What shall I say? What shall I say? Oh, do you know anything of this evening? Emptying of self, friends. Emptying of self. Once you depended on your chapel going, once you depended on your reading of the word of God, once perhaps you depended upon the fact that your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents have been strict Baptists. Oh, friends, all of those things, they were the things that you would have said, meant that things should go well for you in this life, that the Lord should bless you. But, friends, there have been a day when the Lord's emptied you out of all those things, and now you've got nothing to say, nothing to plead. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all. Oh, friends, is that your confession before the Lord this evening? Unworthy, unworthy. Nothing to say, no arguments. Oh, you see, friends, it's not just an emptying out that is seen here. Oh, what shall I say? Submission to the Lord. Submission to the Lord. Submission to the Lord spiritually. Oh, concerning our souls before him. If our soul was sent to hell, says a hymn writer, thy righteous law approves it well. What shall I say? Oh, friend, submission in the things of providence too. What shall I say? Ah, you see, friends, when grace in exercise, Lord, what thou me to do? All our reasoning has to go. All our thoughts have to be brought down. And instead we find, what shall I say? Ah, friends, this is the mark of a living soul. It's humility, you see. Humility. That's the effect of grace. Grace empties. The Saviour empties whom he feels. Grace brings low. I kill. Ah, friends, that he might make alive. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. We could read these words in simple modern English, perhaps, if I can put it that way. Hezekiah really is saying here, oh, now I shall go humbly. The Lord has taught me in bitterness. You see, he was changed. He was changed. Grace had made a real change. A real change. Ah, friends, he no longer had any self-righteousness to plead. He was empty. Oh, his whole hope was fixed alone upon what the Lord had done. You see, friends, it's no longer what he's done. It's now what the Lord hath done and what he has said. And we must take our first point that far. Oh, friends, that's a point I must push you on this evening. That's a mark of a living soul. That's a mark of a living soul. You see, naturally we may be brought to despair. Naturally we may be brought to a place where we've got nothing to say. But, friends, grace, you see, when it brings us to that place where we have to say, what shall I say? We have got something. We have got something. However empty we may feel to be of ourselves, if grace is working, the Lord gives us something. And what does he give us? He gives us the work that he has done. Oh, the work of Jesus Christ. Ah, you see, friends, the testimony of a living soul is my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And that's where Hezekiah is found in our text this evening. Ah, friends, emptied of himself. Painful experience. A bitter experience. Read of it in the preceding verses. Darkness. Felt blackness. Now, friends, if the Lord is emptying you this evening, it won't be a pleasant experience to the flesh. But, oh, if his work brings you here, what shall I say? But he sets before you the work that Jesus done upon the cross and says, this is the way. This is the way. This is my salvation appointed for you. Then you'll say, he hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. Oh, friends, what do you know of that emptying out? What do you know of that filling with Christ? These are things that are known by a living soul. But then Hezekiah continues, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Thou hast cast all my sin behind thy back. Two things, friends, in this verse we just want to point out. Firstly this, for peace I had great bitterness. We find here what the Apostle Paul says in the New Testament, I was alive without the law once. Friends, as the Apostle Paul was there, Pharisee of the Pharisees, all his righteousness, he had peace. He had peace. He thought everything was going well with him. He had arguments to come before the Lord with. Friends, he was filled with happiness, filled with certainty, filled with peace. But the Apostle says, oh, the law came, sin revived and I died. That's what Hezekiah had to prove. Oh, before this sickness came, before the Lord began to work in his soul, Hezekiah had all this self-righteousness. He was at peace. He thought there was peace between him and God. But when the Lord began to work and all that was taken away, friends, he lost his peace. He had great bitterness. Oh, the darkness that you can read of here, like a crane or a swallow. So did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail. We're looking upward. Oh, Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Oh, friends, do you know anything of that? No, once you had peace, no worries, no concerns, but now, no, your soul, a lost eternity, a holy God, a broken law. Oh, for peace I had great bitterness. But our friend Hezekiah doesn't stop there. And if you're a living soul this evening, you won't stop there either. The Lord will bring you to be enabled to say, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Oh, the Lord says, you see, to those that he makes to feel their bitterness, deliver him from going down into the pit, for I have found a ransom. Friends, then they know what true peace is. Then they know what true peace is. Oh, what is true peace? It's through Jesus and his cross. This man shall be the peace. Friends, he's made peace. Upon the cross of Calvary for his people. How has he made peace? He's taken away the cause of dispeace between us and God. He is our propitiation. He's borne our sins away upon the cross at Calvary. Now, friends, if your sins this evening are your cause of bitterness, and the Lord brings you to see your sins taken away upon the cross at Calvary, there you'll find true peace. Now, you'll look for your sins and they're gone. Now, thou hast cast them, all my sins, behind thy back. They're gone. Now, friends, that's peace. That's real peace. Oh, do you know the difference between the peace you once had in your unregenerate state, without God and without hope in the world, without any knowledge of your state? Oh, then you thought you had peace. But now, friends, oh, do you know that peace that passeth all understanding? That peace that comes alone through Jesus and his work upon the cross. Oh, friends, there's no peace like it, is there? No peace like it. Oh, nothing can touch that peace. It's peace that rests upon, oh, the very person and work of Emmanuel. Ah, friends, it is the God of all peace, the God of all peace. That's the source of it. Ah, it's peace, which fills all. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Ah, friends, this is what a living soul knows in measure. Knows in measure. Oh, that change. They know something of real peace. They know something of that bringing into bitterness. And, friends, they know something of the peace that is beyond that. Oh, I think I have emphasised it here before, but I'll emphasise it again this evening. Friends, don't rest short of this peace. Don't rest short of Romans 8:1, for there is now, therefore, no condemnation. Oh, you know, friends, it's a wonderful thing if the Lord has taught you anything of your sin, if he's made you to feel your bitterness. But if it's the Lord's work, he will not leave you there. He did not leave Paul in Romans 7, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? Ah, friends, he brought him into the fullness that was in Christ Jesus. And that's what the Lord does for his people. That's the experience of a living soul. Oh, that you might seek after it, that you might know more of it. If you've tasted anything of this peace, ah, friends, and we do. In this world, we only taste of it. But if you've tasted anything of it, you want more of it, and you'll long for that place. Ah, that land of peace where we shall never, never sin, but from the rivers of his grace drink endless pleasures in. Oh, these are the experiences of a living soul. The grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. Now, friends, here's another evidence of a living soul. The dead will never praise God. But the living soul, our friends, they can't help praising God. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Ah, you know, friends, the work of grace is described in the Word of God as being that change. Oh, the garments of mourning. Oh, the spirit of heaviness taken away. The ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. Oh, songs of everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Now, friends, we read of them that they shall rejoice as those that joy in the day of harvest. Our friends, real praise. The Lord's people can enter into the 126th Psalm when Zion's bondage was turned back. Like men that dreamed were we, then filled with laughter was our mouth, our tongue, with melody. Oh, they among the heathen said, the Lord great things for them hath wrought. The Lord hath done great things for us, whence joy to us is brought. Ah, friends, do you know anything of that? That's the experience of a living soul. Ah, friends, living souls can say, you see, he hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. The Lord hath done great things for me. Ah, friends, if the Lord has done great things to you, you won't be able to keep silent. You'll have to sing. Oh, I do not just speak here of outward singing, although, ah, friends, what a beautiful thing that outward singing is. When the Lord puts a song within your mouth, a new song. He lifted me up out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, put a new song in my mouth. Ah, friends, then we sing like we've never sung before. But all that inward singing, that joy, our friends, that melody, the filling of our mouth with laughter. Oh, we read in the 100th Psalm, don't we? Serving the Lord. Oh, in the metrical version, serving the Lord with mirth. Oh, friends, that's his praise. That's his praise. It's a service of praise. The sacrifice of a broken heart and a contrite spirit which the Lord will not despise. Ah, friends, do you know anything of this? This is the experience of a living soul. If you're still dead, you see, you won't be able to praise the Lord. You won't know anything of this praise. Oh, Hezekiah is very discriminating. The grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. Oh, but the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Ah, friends, a living soul and a lively soul is one that praises God. Oh, one that longs to love and praise him more in his beauteous trace, his majesty adored, to live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice and all his righteous will esteem. That's a living soul. Ah, friends, a living soul mourns over their inability to praise the Lord here as they would. A living soul looks forward to that day when they'll enter into the fullness of life. Oh, when this lisp in stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. That's the experience of a living soul. But then, friends, Hezekiah says, the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore will we sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? Oh, friends, a living soul loves the house of the Lord. A living soul loves the things that pertain unto God. His day, his word, his people. His only begotten Son, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Jesus becomes their all. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Ah, friends, do you love the Lord Jesus this evening? Do you love the Lord Jesus? We love him because he first loved us. Do you love his people? We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Do you love his day? Do you love his word? Oh, friends, by nature we don't love these things. It's only grace that can make that difference. Do you know the difference that grace has made? Ah, friends, now you've got a love in your soul. To the Lord's house. Here my best friends, my kindred dwell. Here God, my Saviour, reigns. Wasn't there before. Wasn't there before. Oh, this is what is described here by Hezekiah. Ah, friends, it's a desire we find at the end of the 23rd Psalm, isn't it? Oh, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In another psalm, I'd rather be the doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Oh, the psalmist in the 84th psalm. I looked at the sparrows, auntie, that had made a nest under the altars in the house of God. Ah, friends, he desired to be like them. That's where he wanted to rest. That's where he wanted to dwell. Oh, he was a living soul. He had a lively exercise. Now, perhaps you say, friends, oh, well, you painted the picture rather high this evening. Ah, friends, these are the marks of a living soul. Can I ask you, have you ever known anything of these marks? Oh, solemnly here, we find there are many deadening influences. The world, old nature, the devil. Ah, friends, they're deadening influences. They deaden the life of grace within the soul. They wrestle against it. We may often feel that we're dead. Evidence is love. Marks of grace we cannot show. And perhaps you're there this evening, but can you say, oh, friends, can you look back to a day when it was different? A day when there was a real change. Ah, friends, can you come in this evening with Cooper? Where is the blessedness I knew when first I loved the Lord? Where are the soul-refreshing views of Jesus and his word? Oh, yes, I could come in with these things in the past. I did know something of them. Oh, but now I feel to be cold and dead and indifferent to these things. Perhaps your winter's been long. Well, friends, our text this evening points you to the only source of help. By these things men live. By these things men live. Oh, you know, friends, I hear so many about my younger friends, those of you that are younger, I hear you sometimes asking those questions. How can we have a closer walk with the Lord? Oh, how can we be more godly, more spiritually minded? And you know, friends, if you read a lot of the literature that's put out on those things, they'll tell you, you can start your Bible reading scheme. You can set aside time when you first get up in the morning for prayer. All these kind of things. Oh, friends, Hezekiah says there's only one source. By these things men live. Ah, friends, it's not what he'd done. That all had to be left behind. What shall I say? I had to leave all those things behind. Ah, friends, here's the secret to a closer walk with God, a calmer heavenly frame. Here's the secret to life and liveliness within the soul. What is it? Ah, he hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it. Oh, friends, the whole of the life of grace is looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, friends, there's nowhere else to look this evening. Ah, if you feel again your deadness, if you feel life has ebbed out, all these marks now seem to be dark. Ah, friends, it's to him you must look, it's to him you must go, and to him alone. By these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. Oh, I must call you to search yourself this evening. Ah, friends, how do these marks find you? Do you have to solemnly say, I've never known anything of these things. I've never known anything of that bitterness. never known any change. Oh, the Lord's Day is still a day that I dread coming round. The Word of God I find no appetite for. I've never known any different. Oh, friends, if we have not got life, if we have not got life, it's death. It's the blackness of darkness forever. Oh, that we might seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. Oh, for the living alone shall praise him. Oh, how stands the case with us this evening? Are we a living soul? Ah, friends, are we united to the vine, to the root, the only source of life? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Well, friends, we want in second place to come to say something regarding the source of this life. Now, I've already said it, but we must draw out what is meant here by these words. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. We find, friends, two things that Hezekiah says here that has been the life of his spirit. We'll take them in the reverse order. Firstly, what the Lord has done, and secondly, what he has spoken. Really, what Hezekiah is getting at here is the objective and the subjective part of real religion. Friends, there is that part of real religion, the objective part. What he's done outside of us. Oh, the life and the death of Jesus Christ. His resurrection. His continued intercession for us. Oh, the imputation of his righteousness in the act of justification in the court of heaven. Friends, that is what he hath done for us outside of us. But oh, friends, then we need that which is he does inside of us, the communication of those things to us. And that's what Hezekiah is getting at here, not just what the Lord has done, but the communication of what he's done into his soul. Oh, he's spoken it into his soul. Friends, he's known the application of the precious blood. He's known what it is within his soul to look and find his sins are gone. Friends, we must have both parts. We must have both parts. What the Lord has done, and the personal communication of it to our soul. Oh, friends, what has he done? What has he done? What has the Lord done? Friends, the whole of deity combined. Our God, what has our God done? Oh, the Father loved us when we lay. Friends, there, it's dead in trespasses and sins, loved before the foundation of the world. Oh, elected unto grace. Friends, what has he done? Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Friends, this is what he's done. Oh, what a wonder that is when that's communicated unto a soul, by these things men live. Oh, can you say that this evening? Has your soul ever been drawn out by a communication of the everlasting love of God to you? That he loved you when a sinner? Oh, that in that love you were preserved in Jesus when your feet made haste to hell? And there you would have gone, but he does all things well. Friends, can you say this evening, the things that he has done? His love was great, his mercy free, which from the pit delivered me. Friends, has that ever brought life into your soul? Consideration of the love of God to you. Oh, have you ever known the experience of David in Psalm 8? Considering the heavens, the glory of God's works. Oh, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The Son of Man, that thou shouldst visit him. What he has done in loving you, in remembering you, in thinking upon you. I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Oh, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his distresses. Friends, you know it's life to a living soul. When the Lord brings you to realise what he's done for you, in eternity past, in the counsel of Jehovah, in the covenant of redemption, oh, in that everlasting love that was in God. Friends, it's life. It's life. These things then, they're not dry doctrine. Friends, these things then, they're not dead articles of faith. They're life to your soul. Oh, friends, then you know what Luther meant when he said doctrine is heaven. Friends, these things, they're life. They're life. Oh, they rejoice your soul. They're joy. They're joy to your soul. They're matter for praise. Oh, what the Father did. Loving us with an everlasting love. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. Oh, friends, what the Son has done. He humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. The eternal Son of God, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father. Oh, friends, the same substance, God made flesh, the Word made flesh. Ah, friends, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, he was rich beyond all splendour, the glories of the heavens. But he humbles himself and makes himself of no reputation. He's found in fashion as a man. Ah, friends, takes into union with his divine person, human nature. Oh, he became a real man. Yet he never ceased to be what he was, the eternal Son of God. And oh, friends, those two natures. Oh, that human nature taken into union with his divine person, unmixed. Oh, friends, unchanged, but inseparably united in the person of Emmanuel, what he has done, what he has done. Oh, friends, has the incarnation ever been life to your soul? Oh, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Oh, has your soul's been led out, consideration, what he's done for you. Oh, leaving the glory of the heavens high, humbled himself. Oh, found in our nature, our God contracted to a span. Oh, friends, are hungered, weary, vexed. Oh, we read of him angry, the hardness of the heart of the Pharisees as they surrounded him. Oh, friends, for you, for me. So we see him there. Ah, he went about, he did such good. Oh, as we see him, our sin bearer. Ah, suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Strengthened by an angel. Oh, friends, here was the eternal Word. Strengthened by an angel for us. And upon the cross at Calvary. Ah, friends, the light of the world found in darkness. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The water of life thirsty. I thirst. Oh, friends, the eternal Son. In our nature, suffering, bleeding, dying. Oh, what hath he done? What hath he done? Ah, friends, you see, if you're a living soul this evening, these things, you have to say, by these things men live. No other source of life. By these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. Oh, have you ever proved this, friends? When you felt dead, does the Lord bring you back to what he's done? What he's done. Oh, you know, friends, I have been there myself, but I see so often people, they try to seek life in the experience of others. But you know, I've had to increasingly prove, friends, if you would find life in your soul, if you feel to need enlivening in this evening, it's to come back to what he's done. Now, friends, it's to come to the record of what he's done in the Word of God. It's to read, sermons that exalt what he has done. Oh, the person, the coming into this world of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, his righteous obedience in life, his righteous obedience in death. The working out of that perfect righteousness for his people. Oh, his sin atoning death, his glorious resurrection. Oh, his ascension into glory. And our friends, is not just what he has done. Oh, we find here one of the examples, we may say, of the prophetic tense. Oh, it's not just what he has done, it's what he is doing. Oh, friends, remember when Hezekiah spoke these words, the eternal Word had not yet come into the world. But so certain were these things that Isaiah could say in the 9th chapter, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Oh, friends, there's a certainty of these things. What a wonder it is when faith can get hold upon those things. Ah, they're so certain. That though within ourselves we feel so much remains to be done, but this is the life of our spirit, believing. Ah, friends, that work is certain. It's complete. It's complete. All Israel must to glory go. Ah, sinners saved by grace. Ah, friends, here you see faith gets hold upon what he has done. What he has done. Oh, it includes what he's doing. What is he doing this evening? Whoever liveth to make intercession for us. Wherefore he's able to save unto the uttermost all them that come unto God by him. Ah, friends, he's remembering your case this evening. Men may have forgotten you. Ah, friends, you may be as forgotten as Joseph was by men in the prison. But you know he hasn't forgotten you. Oh, he's making intercession for you this evening. Ah, friends, he's praying for you in your prayerless state. He's remembering you in your forgetfulness of him. He ever lives to make intercession for you. And ah, friends, he ever lives to make intercession for you to this end. Father, I will. These also thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Ah, friends, what is he doing this evening? He's preparing a place in glory for every one of his people. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Ah, friends, is that life to your soul? Is that life to your soul? A realization such a high priest became us, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Ah, friends, he knows, he understands this evening. And he's working all things according to the counsel of his good pleasure to that certain end that you must be with him in glory, that where he is, there you must also be. Now, friends, this is what he's done. This is what he's doing. This is what he will do for his people. Now, friends, this is life. This is life. Ah, when everything here seems to be darkness and despair, and you wonder where the scene will end, for faith to get hold upon this, place in heaven, a place on his throne, a crown which cannot be taken away from you, everlasting life, songs of everlasting praise. Friends, that will be life to your spirit. Oh, and you may lose all here. You've got something that cannot be taken away. By these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. Friends, what he has done, what he has done. Can you say this evening that he has done anything? Oh, have you got an interest in these things? Is this what you want to know more about? What he has done. What he has done. What he is doing. Oh, for by these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. But friends, what a difference between the fact of what he's done and the knowing personally that he has done these things for us. Friends, that's the real source of life in the souls of the Lord's people. You know, you can find some people, if you begin searching on the internet for theological things, you won't find it's very long before you're off in the United States of America and you'll find there are people in the world this evening. Oh, friends, they're full of theology. They spend all their time studying it. Oh, friends, it appears to have no effect on their life whatsoever. They've got no evidence they're living souls. Oh, they could talk to you. They could tell you far more than you ever know, perhaps this evening, about what the Lord has done. Oh, but they cannot say with Hezekiah, he hath both spoken unto me and hath done it. Ah, friends, they appear to know nothing of this speaking unto them. Oh, do you know not only what he's done, but he's spoken these things unto you. There's been the personal application. Ah, friends, the difference of knowing that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners and knowing that he came into this world to save you, that he came into this world to save me. Oh, because he's spoken unto you. Ah, friends, this is not necessarily a literal voice. Oh, don't expect this evening the Lord necessarily to speak to you like he spoke to Mary. Oh, I came across one that said she was waiting for the Lord to speak unto her as he spoke unto Mary at the tomb and to say, Mary. Ah, friends, we are not promised such things in the Word of God. Oh, but what is described here is real communication. Communication which is as real as literal. Oh, communication which is as substantial as me speaking to you now, and you hear my words and you know it is me that's speaking and you know that you're hearing those things. Ah, friends, it's real communication. When we're a living soul. Ah, friends, we're a living soul because we have union to Christ. We've got union to the root. And the root communicates sap to every one of the branches that the branch might live and bring forth fruit. Ah, friends, a living soul is united to Christ. And if you're united to Christ this evening, you will know communication from him. Ah, friends, his word will speak to you. The written word, the preached word. Ah, friends, the incarnate word will speak unto you. Jesus will be precious. Ah, friends, if these things have been spoken to you, you see. Ah, there'll be one thing that you'll worry about losing. That's Jesus, his presence. Oh, the consolation which is in him. Ah, friends, there'll be one thing you want. Oh, compared with Christ and all beside you, say, no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. Ah, friends, if you can truly say that this evening. Ah, it's because you've known something of this communication. You've known something of the sweetness there is in Christ. Something of the power and the efficacy there is in him. Oh, friends, this is the work of the Holy Spirit within the soul. As he takes the things of Jesus and reveals them unto us. As he convinces of a sin. Oh, friends, he takes away our peace. For peace I had great bitterness. As he empties us out. Oh, friends, these are the things that he's spoken to Hezekiah. Oh, it was as it were, he put his hand on Hezekiah's arm. He said, Hezekiah, all of these things that you're mentioning to me in prayer, all your self-righteousness, they're filthy rags. Oh, they mean nothing to me. You're a sinner in my sight. Ah, friends, he's spoken that to you. Do you know anything of your sin? Has he convinced you of sin? Ah, can you say, he hath both spoken it unto me? Oh, you know, friends, there's a certainty here. He hath both spoken it unto me. Oh, do you know the difference? You may have sat many years under the ministry. You may have heard many sermons in this pulpit that have told you you're a sinner. But, ah, friends, it's never communicated anything to you. You've gone out of chapel as you came in. Oh, for a moment you may have thought about some of the things you've done wrong. Oh, but tomorrow morning it's all forgotten. But, ah, friends, when the Lord's spoken it to you, ah, you know, you will not have lost your sin when you went out of the Lord's house. And you won't have lost it tomorrow. No, friends, and it will keep coming back. Past offences will pain your eyes. You'll never be far away from this fact. You're a sinner, unrighteous in the sight of God, no hope in yourself. That's the speaking of these things. And oh, how many sermons may you have sat under and heard about what he's done? Oh, that Jesus receives sinners and eats with them, and he's had no effect, no comfort, no consolation. But friends, can you mark the time when? Ah, the Lord spoke to you. The word was applied with power. When you went out, the living, he shall praise you as I do this day. Ah, friends, your sins are gone. Your sins are gone. Wasn't anything that the minister did? Ah, friends, it wasn't anything you did. No, the testimony of everyone that has to come before the church, the testimony of every one of the redeemed in heaven will be this. He hath both spoken it unto me, and himself hath done it. Ah, friends, experience of the work of grace is not what we've done. Not what we've done. Ah, friends, it's what he's done. Oh, what has he done for you? Is there anything you can say this evening the Lord's done for you? Oh, friends, a solemn thing if you have to sit there and say, the Lord's done nothing for me. The Lord's done nothing for me. Can you really say that? Can you really say this evening the Lord has done nothing for me? Oh, friends, do you have to come in? Do you have to come in with Hezekiah and admit, he hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it? Oh, friends, if you can say that, then you can go on in our text, can't you? By these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. Nothing else has brought you life. And nothing else ever will. By these things men live. By these things alone. Ah, friends, don't seek life anywhere else this evening. Don't seek life anywhere else. Ah, friends, you will not find it. You won't find it in your own works of righteousness. Hezekiah didn't. You won't find it in the religion of others. Ah, friends, you won't find it in anything that you can do. No, the only source of life is in what he has done. And the communication of that to your soul. Oh, friends, that's what you need this evening. The work of God in Jesus Christ is upon a life we did not live, upon a death we did not die. Oh, that's the only source of life in the heart of the Lord's people. And it's only as that is personally applied to us, he hath both spoken it to me. Friends, that we know that life, that we experience it. I would just coming on to my third point. Oh, friends, we wanted to say, thirdly, drawing things together this evening, oh, the need of the constant supply of these things, the need of continually looking unto Jesus, resting alone upon the finished work. Oh, you see, friends, we've already pointed out concerning Hezekiah, how quickly there was a different spirit found in him, And you'll find it even more clear if you turn to the second book of Chronicles and the 32nd chapter. And there in the 24th verse we read concerning this account, in those days Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him and he gave him a sign. But, oh friends, what a solemn but. Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Oh friends, what a but. What a but. Do you know anything of that but this evening? Ah, friends, the Lord blesses you. The Lord blesses you. The Lord grants you life. Oh, but there's a but. Ah, friends, what is bound up in this but? Your old nature. We carry about a body of sin and death. Ah, friends, it knows no change. Knows no change. Ah, we're still in this world, surrounded by sin, surrounded by temptation, the devil. Ah, friends, he still goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking to be may devour. These are all bound up in this but. Oh, how many enemies there are of living souls. Oh, we mentioned in prayer. Ah, friends, Isaac had to struggle all his days as a child of the bondwoman. Oh, never any separation. Ah, the child of the bondwoman was always there. Oh, the Lord's people have to fight. Oh, there are many adversaries. Perhaps this evening, you say, well, I thought I knew something of this life, but now I only seem to find death, and so many things seem to bring about death. Oh, friends, you know something of this but. And perhaps if you've known something of the Lord working, perhaps in affliction or in some tribulation and trial, friends, it's been life, as the Lord has brought you in that trouble, sanctified that trouble to you and brought you to rest alone upon what he has done, to cling to Jesus in the midst of the storm. But oh, friends, when the storm winds pass over, when the fair weather begins to come out, we take our eyes off Jesus, don't we? We forget what he's done. Got a little strength again. We begin to look to our own righteousness. We begin to rest upon what we've done. Friends, what is the effect? It's death. Death within us and all around us. Friends, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Oh, you know, we need this life. We need this source of life continually. There's only one source of life. Oh, if you feel your deadness this evening. Friends, if your deadness seems to continually be returning. Shall we live at this poor dying rate? My soul cleaveth the dust, said the psalmist. Quicken thou me. But friends, where was the psalmist looking to? Where was he looking to? He wasn't quickening himself. Neither was he looking to man to quicken him. He was looking to the Lord. Friends, he was looking to what he would do. He was trusting alone in him that doeth all things. It's by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. You know, friends, there's only one way to heaven. That's leaning upon what he has done. Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Friends, that's the only way to glory. And the Lord will teach his people that. Friends, if this evening you're able to say for the first time, I know something of what's in the text. Oh, by these things men live. Oh, friends, if Jesus is newly precious to you, you know the Lord will teach you that it's Jesus and Jesus only. Friends, he may withdraw himself. He may leave you to your own projects of self-righteousness. He may leave you to your own strength for a little while. All to teach you. It's all death. All death. Friends, it's by such things that he brings us back to rest alone upon him. He puts us into the fire to consume the wood, hay and the stubble. Friends, that's how the Lord uses trial and tribulation in the life of the Lord's people. Oh, in those things our self-righteousness gets burnt up. Everything that we lean upon that's not on the rock, friends, it's destroyed by those things. We go into them wealthy. We go into them as Hezekiah, many things to say. But friends, if those things are sanctified to us, then the Lord uses those things to strip us of all those things, to bring us empty to say, what shall I say? Oh, but to find an all in Jesus, an all-prevailing plea. To find there a sufficiency of righteousness, a sufficiency of mercy, a power in that cleansing blood. Oh, to supply all our needs. And then, friends, oh, how we come out the other side. By these things men live. Oh, we come out exalting what he hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it. The crown is now in the right place. Oh, friends, is the crown in the right place this evening in your soul's experience? Can you truly praise the Lord this evening for what he hath done, what he's spoken to you? And can you give testimony to the truth of the text this evening? Can you say, yes, Lord, by these things alone men live. Ah, friends, can you point others? Would you point others this evening to these things and to these things alone? Oh, what a question it is, perhaps sometimes, if the world should speak to you in the street, what would you say to them? Or if one should come in here at the end of the service, ask you, what is the only way of salvation? Oh, what would you say to them? Ah, friends, is this what you would have to say? By these things men live. In all these things is the life of my spirit. There's nothing else. Nothing else worth speaking of. Oh, friends, you can test the ministry. The ministers that come into this pulpit. By whether they bring this gospel or not. By these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. Ah, friends, if they bring anything other than what the Lord has done. Anything other than what the Lord has done. Ah, friends, it will be death. It will be death to your soul, that ministry will. Ah, it will never bring forth any life. It's by these things and by these things alone. What shall I say? He hath both spoken it unto me and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul, O Lord. By these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So will thou recover me and make me to live. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach next Lord's Day. On Monday evening, there'll be a prayer meeting followed by a church meeting. Mr. Pocock is, God willing, expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And would the friends who are kindly hoping to help on Saturday to clear the chapel, would they like to stay behind for a few minutes, please? Our closing hymn is number 924. 924. Great rock for weary sinners made, when storms of sin distress the soul, here let me rest my weary head when lightnings blaze and thunders roll. Hymn 924.
Lord, forgive all that's been amiss in the worship of thy house this evening. Bless that which is according to thy word of truth, Lord. Oh, lead us more and more into that which thou hast done. May we find there this evening, Lord, life. Oh, I know it to be the only source of life. Lord, that we might be more often there. Oh, resting upon the finished work of Christ. Lord, draw us closer. Keep us nigher. Part us, Lord, with thy blessing. Take us on our way in peace and safety. Grant rest and sleep for the strength in our bodies. Go before us in all the unknown way. Prepare us for our end, Lord. Bring each one of thy people safe to glory. We'd ask it with the forgiveness of our every sin for Jesus Christ's sake. Now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.